to... Okay.
Well, I'm very lucky to follow Kevin because the topic this week with crossing borders and promoting collaboration, he really set the stage very well for me to follow him. I'm talking today about the use of business process analysis and leadership redesign to cross borders and foster interdepartmental synergy and collaboration between disciplines, and that's the King County Health Department experience. I didn't think about it when I wrote that title in the abstract that it wouldn't fit on the slide. I do have a co-author, Cindy Gross, our epidemiologist, and neither of us have any relationships to disclose. Just to set the stage, King County is one of the collar counties of Chicagoland. We have an estimated population of approximately 500,000 people with approximately another 100,000 people that would be considered illegal populations. 40 miles west of Chicago. Three metro lines terminate in King County, and that's important because the entire Chicagoland region is approximately 8 million people. And after September 11th in 2001, we really saw the people in Chicago getting on the trains and essentially just without any kind of emergency planning, just getting on any train to get out of the city. And so when they got to the end of the line, King County had, you know, a huge issue to deal with because we had literally thousands of people that didn't live in King County that needed transportation back to their homes. And of course, that was a very difficult time for all of us, and we didn't have the emergency planning and preparation that we do today. So that really set a lot of the work going forward for us was around what we would do with the population that ended in King County with the metro lines. We have a large Fox River that goes through the county, and it's an urban population. We have the second and third largest cities in Illinois after Chicago, both Aurora and Elgin. Our median age in the county is 32.4, and our growing Hispanic Latino population close to 30%, probably higher when you include undocumented. So you can see here, this is a map of Illinois, and King County is right outside of Cook County and the city. And then, of course, you've got the large urban populations of Michigan and Indiana on either side of Lake Michigan. So it's a very densely populated, not as densely populated as New Jersey, but coming in, I think, third probably. In August of 2007, we received a new executive director, and Paul Kienert. He came to us from the State Department of Maine, where he was deputy director. And our entire senior leadership team was redesigned. And that redesign resulted in four divisions. And we formed a new division of health protection. And that division comprised the communicable disease, environmental health, and emergency preparedness sections. Prior to that, communicable disease and emergency preparedness were in their own section. Environmental health was its own division. So in order to make this the four divisions come together, and even within the Division of Health Protection, we needed to use some sort of process that would help make sense to the staff. It would help guide what kind of work we were doing. And at the time in the summer of 2007, we were lucky enough to participate in a Robert Wood Johnson project with the Public Health Informatics Institute called Common Ground, where there were small groups chosen across the country from local health departments that worked on learning what a business process analysis was, and then they would take it back to their departments and work on certain projects. Now, here in King County, the health department and the executive director is actually responsible for not just the health department, but also animal control and the Office of Emergency Management. And so what we did in the Common Ground project was we took the heat emergencies, and we used business process analysis to work across three different departments, animal control, health, and the Office of Emergency Management. And we broke it down excruciating detail into how each department would work to handle a heat emergency in King County. So that was the model and the methodology that I used with the Division of Health Protection to attempt to bring, you know, environmental health, communicable disease, and public health emergency preparedness together. And our Bible was taking care of business. And this is a document I highly recommend if anybody is wanting to pursue some type of work. This is a document that's provided by the Public Health Informatics Institute, and basically is a step-by-step guide, and you can literally teach yourself the concepts, the big concepts of business analysis and how to use them. I'm sorry, I apologize, the slide didn't come out too well. But basically, the concepts with business process analysis is you think, how do we do our work now? And this is where we really got a lot of stakeholder involvement with our staff, and we sat down with each of the three sections separately and then together and said, how are you doing your work now? Because you're going to be doing your work differently very shortly. And we used the goals, objectives, the context diagrams. We described, identified business rules. We had to sit down and do tasks and workflows, common task sets, with the goal of how should we do our work? Because we're all going to be working together. And then what kind of information systems would support the work that we wanted to do? With business process, the big four are the triggers. What are the triggers that prompt you to do the work that you're doing? And it's very interesting when you sit down with the staff because you really hear a lot of different things about what triggers them to do an activity. And when you sit down and after 3 months of working on a business process diagram and they look at it, they have very different feelings about what a trigger is for their work. Inputs, outputs, and objectives are all the workflow that they're doing. So this is an example of one of the business processes. So up here at the very start, you have your trigger, which is a request for a service. And then every single step that they take in that process, so whether it's completing an intake form and all the way to the very end, which is output, which is billing. And so very much like a logic model algorithm, but a lot more highly detailed. The one product you really need, you can do this on your own with Taking Care of Business, the booklet, but you really need to purchase Visio to make sure that you are able to do all of the diagrams so you can visually see what work is going on. We've all talked about over the last couple of years the tendency of organizations to work and see itself in silos instead of and organized vertically rather than horizontally. But really, the work of local health department does flow horizontally, and it does cross functions and organizations many times as it moves towards its objective. Sorry. So over the last year, what happened? Within this division of health protection, we reorganized, we improved interdepartmental communication. We do have products to show you as we move through this, which is the processes related to food, water, and disease protection. And then we implemented cross-cutting initiatives that transcended the disciplines and organizational boundaries. So this is how the Division of Health Protection looks right now. We have under the communicable disease section your standard reportable disease, immunizations. We have a very, very large refugee program. We have a very large TB clinic and a TB population. We have the human side of lead is handled through the communicable disease section and then, of course, education. Environmental health, we have the standard, the food program. We have the well septic solid waste. We have the environmental side of lead, nuisance, tanning, coming up on tattoos. We don't have tattoos currently. And then emergency preparedness, which is bioterrorism, pan flu, natural disasters, which we've actually participated in way more than anything else, and disease outbreaks. So our CD section, as you can imagine with the population ours and being very close to O'Hare International Airport, most local health departments have busy CD sections, but we have thousands and thousands of case reports. We did have the first case, well, not the case, but the caretaker for monkeypox, so to be the first index case in North America. And we have a tremendous amount of obscure types of reports and illnesses. We've had a large measles outbreak recently. So this is a really, really busy department. And the environmental health section, we have over 1,700 food establishments, then 5,100 permanent food inspections per year, and another 500 temporary inspections a year. We have 10 inspectors. So you can imagine this is just, you know, an outrageous amount of work. Unfortunately, the agency's just gone through a layoff, and we've lost approximately 20 of our staff, but we didn't lose any of our professional staff. So well in septic, we still have a large number of the population that lives in outside of the urban area, but in the more rural area that are on wells and septics, and then property maintenance, nuisance complaints. And then emergency preparedness, Just as a side note to the mutual aid question that Kevin got earlier, Illinois does have a mutual aid agreement, so every county has an agreement. It's a statewide agreement, so every county agrees with the other county for mutual aid. We did have a large chain outbreak of hepatitis A, and we did exercise the mutual aid agreement because we gave over 3,600 injections of immune globulin. We did over 2,000 in 2 days, and we certainly didn't have the nursing staff to be able to do that. So we exercised what we call IFMIS, the Illinois Public Aid Mutual Aid System, and many of the counties in the state of Illinois sent us nursing staff. And so the nursing staff helped us, and that went on for about 2 weeks. So we were the first county in Illinois to actually exercise the mutual aid agreement, and it worked, and it's worked since then in other counties. So cross-cutting areas, how did we work together? We saw some real opportunities in some of these cross-cutting places like West Nile virus, because the CD section was taking the human reports, but the environmental health section had 20 traps all over the county. Foodborne illness investigations had previously been done by the environmental health department or section. We certainly saw areas for bioterrorism, pan flu preparedness, the areas of lead, and natural disasters. We've had several large floods in the area in the last year or two. And then food recalls, which I think we've all seen, at least at the local level, have just exponentially increased. So West Nile virus, we brought the two sections here. We brought CD and environmental health together. So if CD is doing a human case investigation, they're letting the environmental health section know what's going on. This year, as we closed out the season, we had three human cases and one death. The environmental health section had 20 traps up and down the county, and so they were able to work together and do a very nice mapping of where the human cases are and where the traps are and the overlays, so that we would then go out and do much more larvaciding in that particular area and a lot more working with the municipalities to help them with the prevention messages. In foodborne, like I said, prior to this, the environmental health did all the complaint investigations, and so now the CD section will take in a complaint investigation, and the environmental health will do the food establishment investigation and the food sample. And so it works very nicely together now, and it's much, much quicker, and our responses are amazingly fast. So they work together on a foodborne investigation complaint form, and they I will show that to you. And they also did a lot of work around food safety initiatives. So this is an example of the document that they came together, the environmental health and the CD section, to develop a policy and procedure about how a foodborne investigation is taken in. In the beginning, there was resistance from the environmental health section, I will tell you that. The CD section kind of bullied their way into this, and we really had to sit down with the business process analysis and show why having this type of a process was much better and quicker in the long run. Some of the food safety initiatives that we've worked on together. Food recalls. As I said before, I think everybody's seen exponentially, they've just increased. The Chicago Tribune did a very large story on the lettuce and salmonella about a year and a half ago, and several of the large health departments in the Chicagoland area had really done nothing about informing the public, and they took a huge hit in the Chicago Tribune. And after that, as we were going through this process, we really felt like we needed some sort of organized way on how you make a decision, who do you send food recalls to, what food recalls do you send, what are important, and what are people going to pay attention to. So we have a algorithm, and this information that we did was disseminated via blast faxes. So on a weekend, if we get a food recall, like we did several times over botulism, okay, so we get the recall, we're able to follow the algorithm. Was the product distributed in Illinois? Is there a risk of illness? And if the answers to all of these are yes, then we go ahead remotely and just send out a blast fax. We send the recall out to all the food establishments. And then we have formed strike teams so that if after the blast fax is sent out, if we feel like there's really high-risk establishments that perhaps would have a product that, you know, you're never sure when you get to the end of the day if who receives that fax and if they're going to do anything about pulling the product off the shelf. So if it's something like botulism, we're going to go out and have our strike team target just those establishments that we think are high risk. So this is how the algorithm looks, and it has been very effective in terms of after hours, amount of time that we spend on this. It's really reduced the number of people. We've gotten so good on BlackBerries right now, and the algorithm is so ingrained in our heads. It's basically we're able to say, you know, is it in illness associated? Is it distributed in Illinois? And does it require a blast fax? And we're able to do that. About 10 of us can do that remotely. We did publish this algorithm with NACHO. It was accepted as a promising practice, and it is in the NACHO model practice database. There is still work to be done on it, particularly around data collection. This is our after-hour call protocol. We had after-hours for our health department. The sheriff in the county is called, so basically if there's any kind of an emergency around, if there's any kind of a disease report or any kind of a environmental health, usually a food establishment that's on fire, something like that, they called the sheriff. And so there were multiple people taking those calls, and we had no coordinated response. And so we've been able to develop through the business process an algorithm that guides us as to how to manage after hours. And so when we're rotating call, we're all standardized in our approach. What are the challenges about working across disciplines and using the business process in a model like this? Is we really did have a lot of fear, and actually we still do, about individual disciplines losing their own identity. Particularly the environmental health section really struggled. They basically, in the beginning, you know, here is a nurse that's coming in now to be their director, and so they felt like their environmental health identity was being challenged and lost. And I think as we've worked through the last year and a half, some of that has disappeared, but I work very hard with them to make sure that their environmental health identity is maintained. And not so much in the emergency preparedness and the communicable disease sections, but definitely with environmental health. There's also different skill levels with the business process. As we work with it more, people are becoming more proficient, but it is complicated, it is time-consuming, and different people have different good skill levels. And then you can also have, you know, overuse of algorithms when people just get tired. But successes, we've had our response time for urgent and emergent community needs, such as floods and outbreaks, it's improved dramatically. We've had several floods in the area recently, and we're able to implement what we call our strike team. And so we have a representative from environmental health, the CD section, the emergency preparedness section, an MR Medical Reserve Corps volunteer, and an Office of Emergency Management volunteer compose the strike team. And they're able to go door to door in the flooded areas to make sure that people are getting their needs met. And, you know, if they need well or septic information, if they need water bottles for well testing, if they need tetanus immunizations, they're able to do that right on the spot. We've also seen that there's way more efficient team training, especially things like NIMS. The Division of Health Protection has really taken the lead in the King County Health Department to be the forefront for any kind of an emergency response. And so making sure that that group is, you know, up to speed with all of the NIMS trainings and communication is important. And then, you know, Health Protection's now really identified themselves. They have a team identity and a purpose. So we've just an example of part of the strike team and how they're able to get out and go rather quickly. So that's it. If there are any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
First of all, how long did it take to develop these
cross-cutting
processes?
Wanted to take about 6 months. It was about 6 months. Part of it was financial, because as our new director came in, the property tax revenue, which Kevin kind of set the stage on how local health departments are funded. The property tax revenue, we had a very, very high foreclosure rate in Kane County. And so as we saw the property tax revenue starting to drop, we knew that layoffs were probably in our future. We were hoping they weren't, but you know, we kind of thought that they were. And so that was really one of the big incentives, was having to work. And so we've been able to use some of our preparedness funding to do some of the, like the food safety initiatives, so some of the social marketing and prevention type messages, we've been able to kind of use that across, whereas before that wasn't an opportunity for us because everybody was working very siloed. It was, yeah, it was a need to have. That's well put. In what context? We're doing better with that right now, with our immunization program dropping back due to the layoffs. We're having a very large immunization forum because we have 5 federally qualified healthcare centers in the county, and so we're hoping that that collaborative model will work so that we don't drop back in terms of the county immunization rate, but that perhaps there's other partnerships that are there to help pick up. So yeah, there are a number of examples of where we're using the collaborative model outside of the health department. And like I said, with animal control and emergency management all in the same span of control, we're working a lot there.
You mentioned something about decision-making processes. Did you set up a formal process that's consistent, or is it still the usual stuff with NIMS where there's a structure, but there's no decision-making process in that structure?
You know what, we're kind of in the process of that. I think we're better than we were in terms of decision-making in NIMS. We've had enough practical experience that we've learned from the after-action reports about following the command structure better. And so I would say that our decision-making has become more standardized, but I think it definitely has room for improvement. Okay, thank you.